to continue looking at the 10th commandment, which regards covetousness. We paralleled last week covetousness with idolatry. Again, covetousness is a desire, and when it crosses, nothing wrong with having desires, nothing wrong with having goals, depending, of course, what the desires and goals are. But when it crosses a line that God has given us, then it crosses into idolatry, and such a desire then, of course, is covetousness. If we turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see that covetousness is called a cloak of covetousness. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 5. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. A cloak, of course, is that which covers, that which hides. Paul is saying here that he did not have a covetous desire in his ministering to them. He did not clothe covetousness with flattering words. So it's a cloak of covetousness. And it does cover itself under other names. A lot of names that are given to what should just be called covetousness. It becomes a cloak of covetousness. Prudence. A lot of people who are covetous are saying, well, we're just being prudent. Many times prudence is a cover. It's a cloak for covetousness. Many will say, well, it's common sense. It's common sense. Once again, common sense can be used as a cloak for covetousness. Sadly, we live in a day when covetousness has been so ingrained and intertwined in the lives of individuals that it's really no longer recognized for what it really is, covetousness. And therefore, it's very dangerous. It is condemned throughout the Scriptures, and we want to look at that today. It is condemned by God over and over and over again. Even though it is so ingrained and intertwined in our lives, and children many times are taught to be covetous. Most would deny it, but again, that's part of the cloak of covetousness. We teach our children to be covetous, but we use other names for it. So it is condemned throughout the Scripture. Of course, it is approved by the world. The world may refer to the covetous individual as a go-getter. Nothing wrong with being that in and of itself, but many times a go-getter is simply a covetous person. It is approved by the world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, very familiar verse. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The reason we're not to love the world is if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That is, it's two contrary things, which goes back to what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you cannot serve two masters. In verse 16, he begins to explain why, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For, or because, all that is in the world, this would refer to the ways of the world, the lust of the flesh, that's the desire of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So you have lust twice, and you have pride, the pride of life. Again, pride causes one to covet. And again, we must understand that covetousness does not just involve material things. One may covet accolades. One may covet a title. On and on it can go. One may covet approval. And will work to that end. But all of this is contrary to God. And it all has its root in the pride of life. But the world approves of it. It's the way of the world. But though it is approved by the world, and Christians many times get confused. They seem to think, well, if the world says it's okay, or if it's passed in the law, then it's okay. But the world is all wrong. So, I mean, that just goes against everything that the Bible teaches. But so though it is loved by the world, it is hated by God. In Psalm 10, in verse 3, it says, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous." He honors the covetous person. The wicked individual boasts of his own heart's desire, of his own goals, and he honors the covetous, but then notice what it says, "whom the Lord abhorreth." Whom the Lord abhorreth. God hates covetousness. In Isaiah 57, we see not only does he abhor such, but it is the object of his anger. Isaiah 57, verse 17, "For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth." God says, I was angry for the iniquity of his covetousness. And then he displayed that anger, which is God's wrath. God's anger is the emotion. God's wrath is the display of that anger. "And smote him. I hid me. And was wroth. And he went on frowardly in the way of his heart." That is part of the judgment, part of the wrath of God. And it is very serious thing when God allows an individual to just go his own way. That individual is the object of God's wrath. That's where we are as a nation. And we see God does this with individuals as well. "He was wroth and he went on forwardly or proudly with no fear in the way of his heart." So though it's loved by the world, it's hated by God. And it is the object of God's anger. Also, we see the seriousness of covetousness by what it is listed with in the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11, "But now I've written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous. We see there that it's listed with fornication. A fornicator or covetous. Doesn't say that fornication is worse than covetousness. It doesn't say that. It doesn't even imply it. It just says fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such a one, no, not to eat. In Ephesians chapter 5, we again see another list in which covetousness is listed. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness, and then notice what he says, or covetousness. Once again, he doesn't say that fornication or moral uncleanness is worse. He just groups them together. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. That is, these things are not becoming of saints and not becoming of children of God. In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians 3, verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness. He adds that on the end, which is idolatry. So it is condemned by the fact that God hates it. It is condemned by the fact that it is the object of God's wrath. It is condemned by what it is listed with. We see all through the Word of God, covetousness is associated with many sinful things. It is condemned by being connected with oppression. In Proverbs chapter 28, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 16, the prince, the ruler, that wanteth or lacketh understanding is also a great oppressor. He that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. Now, this proverb declares that the ruler who mistreats or shows injustice toward others lacks understanding, or that individual lacks a discerning spirit. The proverb, though, draws a contrast. We see, again, it's two lines, and the second line is introduced by the word but, which draws a contrast and makes really a connection. So the proverb, by drawing a contrast, suggests that such an individual is covetous. Again, the second line is, but he that hateth covetousness, in contrast to the prince that lacketh understanding and therefore oppresses individuals. But he that hateth covetousness, hates the sin of covetousness, shall prolong his days, which is suggestive of the fact that covetousness causes ruin. But we see the covetous individual, without a doubt, is a misguided individual. They can talk about common sense all they want to, but anytime you put something ahead of God, you are a misguided individual. And the covetous person is a misguided individual, and they are misguided in their judgment, and they are misguided in their judgment of treatment of others. Notice in the book of Habakkuk, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, Habakkuk chapter 2, we see again this covetousness and oppression. In verse 9 it says, woe unto him, or woe to him, that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high. There's the pride. He wants this, again, to exalt self, whatever it is that he desires. That he may be delivered from the power of evil. And then if you drop down to verse 12, the very next woe. So we have woe to him that coveteth. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity. So in verse 9, we have a pronouncement of judgment upon the covetous individual, followed in verse 12 by a pronouncement of judgment upon exploitation. Who is it that uses this exploitation in verse 12? It's the covetous individual. Covetousness leads to abuse and unfair treatment of others. That is why many will not pay a fair wage, because they're covetous. They want more for themselves. This is why many are mistreated, because of covetousness. So it is condemned by oppression. It is associated with oppression. It is also associated with false dealing. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 13, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. From the least, that is the poor, to the greatest, the rich. Everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest. And then notice what it says, everyone dealeth falsely. And the same thing is repeated in Jeremiah 8 and verse 10. Now notice, first of all, that these individuals are given to covetousness. They're given to it. That means they are enslaved by it. Their hearts are engrossed in covetousness. Covetousness, whatever the individual covets, again, it can be a material thing, it can be money, it can be prestige, it can be accolades, it can be approval, the list goes on and on and on and on. It's not limited to material things. We need to understand that. Their hearts are engrossed in it. We read in Ezekiel 33 and verse 31, their heart goeth after their covetousness. And these individuals are described, notice in Proverbs 30, verses 15 and verse 16. The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, 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 give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things that say it is enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is filled with water, that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. But notice that first verse, verse 15, crying, give, 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 give. Now remember, from the least to the greatest, everyone is given unto covetousness. Ours is a society that has been duped into believing that only the rich are covetous, and that only the rich have the attitude of give, give. But keep in mind again, the least to the greatest, every one of them is given to covetousness. The poor are not exempt from covetousness. And this is seen in their entitlement attitude. Give, give. That's covetousness. They covet what the rich have, many times, without the work that is involved. So, as a result of covetousness, the world is filled with fraud. Oh, we hear all about fraud on Wall Street. The world is filled with deception and cheating. And we hear all about fraud, deception, cheating, and injustice on Wall Street, leading people to believe that that's the only place it takes place. But nothing could be further from the truth. It is true of the rich and the poor. Because of covetousness, there is fraud, deception, cheating, and injustice on every hand. What about the individual that lies and cheats and deceives in order to gain benefits from the government? That's covetousness. That's covetousness. And it's no different. The sin is no different than if it takes place on Wall Street. But we've been duped into believing, or I say we, I mean society, most of us understand, that this only takes place, the rich, they're so covetous. Well, and that may be true. But I'm here to tell you the poor are too. Everyone is given to covetousness, and this is why the world is filled with fraud. The rich may try to cheat you. The poor will come, they come into this building. And they will ask for money. And they will tell a story. And it's unbelievable. So, I mean, it's kind of entertaining to hear some of the stories they tell. And it's a form of covetousness. They may covet a dollar, but they'll lie to get it. That's covetousness. Covetousness produces fraud. Covetousness produces deception, which shows the wickedness of it. Now, the heart can be trained in covetous practices. Yes, the rich on Wall Street, covetousness can become a way of life. That is very true. It is also true that those who live off the welfare system, and don't misunderstand me, I'm not criticizing all those who live off the welfare system, they also can be trained in that way of life. In 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll close, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, then notice, and heart they have exercised, to exercise is to train, they have exercised with covetous practices. And how long does this continue? Cursed children. In other words, they train their children the same way. The rich are guilty, the poor are guilty. Every social class is guilty. No social class is exempt from covetousness. And covetousness becomes a way of life. And how sad when covetousness becomes a way of life. We all have covetousness. We've all been guilty. We all have moments of such. But that's one thing. It's another for it to become a way of life. And that is the case with many, many individuals. The world is filled with these individuals. American society is a very covetous society. I'm not saying it's the only covetous society on the earth, but American society is a very covetous society. It's a very covetous culture. And if we're not careful, we learn to be accepting of such a practice, and we learn to be, we invite it into our own life, and we approve it. We approve of it in our own life. But covetousness, no matter what form it takes, is a sin that is condemned all through Scripture. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, that you do supply our every need and how you always have. And there's no need for us, Lord, to be covetous, for we know that you will take care of each of your children. Lord, we just pray that you would help us today to worship you in a way that would bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, that you would draw us closer to thee. Pray, Lord, that you'd save the lost today. In Jesus' name, amen.